Can I just also say there are prayer letters there from the Every Home Bible Literature Crusade. They're out there on the table of the porch, and I encourage you to take that. Keep you abreast just of the work of Every Home Crusade, and do pray much for that work. But also ask you to pray very particularly as a church and as a congregation this morning for our sister, Mrs. Ruth Liggett. She had another recent scan there, and the results of that scan were not very good, humanly speaking. So do pray for Ruth and Roy at this time. The Lord would help them, strengthen them, encourage them at this time. She was on a special trial for her cancer, and that's not doing the job. And they've ceased to do that now, the doctors, so they're going to give treatment a rest for a month, and then they're going to look at what other alternatives of treatment there may be. So pray for wisdom for the doctors as well, and that the Lord would just give them grace and help through this very difficult time. So do remember them, especially in your prayers, just day by day. We're going to turn again, please, in the Word of God this morning to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. And with God's Word open before us, let us bow together, please, just in a short word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we would pray especially, Lord, for Sister Ruth today. We bring her to Thee, O God, in the arms of faith. And we thank Thee, Lord, that she is Thy child. And we would pray like one of old, and we would say, Lord, she whom Thou lovest is sick. And we just pray for Thy healing hand upon Thy child, O God. We pray, Lord, that Thou would put Thy restraining hand, O God, upon this illness, we pray. And Lord, give her and Roy and Anna, give them great courage and great comfort at this time. We pray that they'll know Thy peace and they'll know Thy strength, and they will know Thy presence with them and round about them in a very particular way, and all their families and family circle as well, that they might know great grace and strength and help in their time of need. And we just pray even for the doctors and that, as they would look after her, that I will give them wisdom and give them guidance as to the way ahead. And we just pray that even in all this, O God, Thy name would be honoured and glorified, and that the family, Lord, will be drawn closer, Lord, to Thee. Just answer prayer. Bless us now as we turn to Thy precious Word, Thy holy truth. Father, we pray that Thou would speak to us from the open Bible this morning. We thank Thee that Thy Word is truth. We thank Thee for a people who have come to hear the Word of God, not to hear what the world or man may say, but a people who have come to worship Thee, a people that have an interest, O God, in what God says and what the Word of God has to tell us and to teach us. And Lord, our prayer is that Thou Thyself would break the bread of life to our souls, to the blessing, the strengthening of every believer in our gathering, to the salvation of any in our gathering this morning out of Christ, to the glorifying of Thy name. Lord, to this end, cleanse me afresh in the blood of the Lamb. And fill me, O God, afresh with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. And be mouth, matter, and wisdom, and unto us all that we need and require, and for the preaching forth of Thy holy word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now our text for this morning, as we come to Joshua chapter 24, and in the will of the Lord, to our final message in this present series of studies in the life and in the book of Joshua. And we want just to base our remarks around the opening words of verse 14 of Joshua chapter 24 this morning. It simply says at the beginning of that verse, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him." Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him. Jim Elliot was a missionary to the Aka Indians of South America. In fact, he was to die a martyr's death for his faith and his work for the Lord. Indeed, his wife Charlotte has written a tremendous biography about his life, called Under the Shadow of the Almighty. That's a great book, and I would encourage you, each and every one, if you can get a copy of that book, to read it. And it'll bless your soul, and it will stir your soul up to serve the Lord in your day and generation. But shortly before he was to die, he entered these following words in his own personal diary. He says, "God, I pray Thee, light these idle sticks of my life, that I may burn for Thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is Thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one, like you, a Lord Jesus. And by those words, he told of his desire and his day and generation to serve the Lord. And dear people, the words of our text this morning would remind us also of this important grace in the life of the Christian, where it says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him." The chapter here before us this morning, it contains Joshua's final sermon to the children of Israel. And by this message, he calls the children of Israel to serve the Lord. And that burden was so great and so meaningful to Joshua that he uses the word "serve" no less than 13 times throughout this chapter. And he also uses the word "serve" 3 times. It was the burden of his soul, the longing of his heart, that the people would go on to serve the Lord. As it was God's will for the children of Israel, the day of Joshua, to serve the Lord, so it is still God's will to serve the Lord for all of his people. Indeed, the psalmist would say, "Serve the Lord with gladness," to every Christian, to every believer. And this being so, I want us just to consider this morning Joshua's call here to serve the Lord in this great text. When he says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him." There are a number of thoughts I want to leave with you regarding this call to service. Notice first of all Israel's duty to serve the Lord. In the early part of this particular chapter, Joshua reminded Israel of all that God had done for them as a nation. He tells of God's blessing upon their forefathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He speaks of how God delivered them out of the bondage of Egypt in the day of Moses. Look at the beginning of verse 6 of the chapter. God says, "And I brought your fathers out of Egypt." Now we're also told of how God gave them victory over the enemy of the Canaanites in the land of their possession. In verse number 11, it says at the end of that verse, the Lord says, "And I delivered them into your hand." Mention is also made there in verse 13, how God himself had given the land of Canaan as a possession, as an inheritance to the children of Israel. Look at what the Lord says in verse 13, "And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do you eat." And there you see how the very land was given to Israel in the grace and in the mercy of God. It was a land for which they themselves did not labor, yet God gave it to them in grace and in mercy. And my God's blessing, in the light of all these blessings, God's blessing demanded their service of the people of God of Israel. For in light of all those blessings, Joshua reminds them of their duty to serve the Lord in the words of our text this morning in verse 14, where he says, "Now therefore," in other words, on account of all these blessings that God has given to you, he says, "fear the Lord and serve him." Yes, God's blessing, it demanded their service. And dear believer, yes, God has blessed you and I also in a multitude of ways. He has blessed you and I wonderfully regarding the temple mercies and blessings of life. He has blessed you and I with spiritual blessings. The Bible says he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And my, through faith in the atoning sacrifice of Christ as God's people, our sins have been forgiven. We have been saved from the wrath to come. We have been fitted for eternal life and glory in heaven. The Bible says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And we could go on speaking of the blessings of God to us individually and collectively, even as a congregation. But dear people, in light of such blessings, it is our duty to serve the Lord in our day and generation. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 12. Over to the New Testament. Romans chapter 12. And just look at the beginning of that chapter, verse number 1. Look at the language, the words that the Apostle Paul uses as he writes here to God's people. Prior to this, he's been dealing with all the blessings of God in Christ to his people. On account of all those blessings, he's seeking now to bring it to a conclusion, to summarize and to exhort the people of God to serve the Lord. And he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in other words, on account of all those blessings that he'd been dealing with in the chapters prior to this, he says, by the mercies of God, in other words, because of God's mercy and God's goodness to you as a people, he says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Dear believer in Christ, in light of the mercies of God to you and to me, we are to present ourselves, our bodies, to Christ's service, a living sacrifice, a holy sacrifice. This is what our reasonable service. Now that was the very spirit and no doubt the desire of Isaac Watts, that great preacher and hymn writer of a bygone day. Thinking and reflecting upon what God had done for him in Christ in that great hymn, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, he concludes that great hymn of these tremendous words. He says, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. O people of God, when we think of God's love toward us in Christ, that same love demands our soul, our life, our all. Yes, we see here how Israel had a duty to serve the Lord in light of God's blessings to them. But notice secondly here from Joshua chapter 24, the conditions of Israel's service for the Lord. Look at what Joshua goes on to say following our text in verse 14. He says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him. And notice the next few words. In sincerity and in truth. And there you see that Israel were to serve the Lord, it says, in sincerity and in truth. In other words, their service for God was to be sincere. It was to be from the heart. It was to be more than mere lip service, so to speak. That service was to be marked by truthfulness, by honesty, and by integrity. And dear people of God, can I say also, these are the conditions by which you and I also are to serve the Lord. The Lord says to you and I as people, he says, my son, give me thine heart. And everything that we do for God, our heart is to be in it. We're to do it with all of our heart. You remember what Paul said to the believers in Colossae, in Colossians 3 and verse 23, he says, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. And indeed, all our witness for Christ is to be honest. It is to be one of integrity. It is to be above reproach before the world. You remember again the counsel of the Apostle Paul to the believers in Thessalonica. He said that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without. And that's our responsibility as Christians in our service for God. To serve the Lord sincerely and with integrity, with all our heart, as it says there in our text before us this morning, in sincerity and in truth. By speaking upon this very matter, A.W. Tozer, that great preacher and writer of a bygone day, he said, honesty that can be trusted and respected is a very fragrant flower in the life of a Christian. And you know, people, that was the fragrance of the very life of Christ himself, our Savior. In his great high priestly prayer, he could say to his heavenly Father, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He was wholehearted about his Father's business here on earth. Later on, the Apostle Peter, speaking of his very life, and Peter had been in his close company for some 3 years, he could say of Christ, neither was guile found in his mouth. Everything he said and done was honest and true. And dear people of God, can I say that is to be the fragrance also of our life in all our service and our witness for God. Yes, we see that Israel had a duty to serve the Lord. We see the conditions for Israel's service. Notice thirdly here from Joshua 24, notice the summons for Israel to serve the Lord. And you see that summons there at the beginning of verse number 15 as Joshua goes on to speak to them about this matter. He says there in verse 15, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." And there you see that Israel were being summoned by Joshua in this matter of service. And they were being summoned here to make a conscious choice, a conscious decision regarding the service of the Lord. You see very clearly from the words that Joshua uses that summons, it involved a choice. He says, "Choose you." And in this matter of service, they were to make a choice between serving the Lord God Jehovah on the one hand, or on the other hand, serving the false gods of the Amorites and the heathen in the land of Canaan. That was the choice they had to make. In many ways, it was very similar to the choice that Elijah set before Israel hundreds of years later, when he said, "If the Lord be God, follow him. How long halt ye between two opinions?" Had to make a choice regarding this matter of service. Notice something else about the summons. This summons was to be obeyed with haste. Look at the language that Joshua uses there in verse 15. He says, "Choose you this day." That was present. He didn't say, "Choose you a week's time, a month's time, or a year's time, or 5 or 10 years' time." No, it was a pressing decision. It was a pressing choice. There was to be no delay in serving God at this particular time. What a summons was set before them. "Choose you this day whom you will serve." O believer, you and I, let me say also, are to choose the service of Christ. That's God's will for our lives. We're to choose the service of Christ above the service of self-will, and the service of man, and the service of this world. You remember what the Lord said to the disciples in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 24. He says, "No man can serve two masters." You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon speaks of this world and all that it has to offer, and all the riches and all the things of this ungodly world. Yet Jesus spoke to the disciples and says, "You cannot serve God and mammon. No man can serve two masters." He was calling them to make a conscious choice and decision to serve the Lord. And that's the choice I believe God sets before you and I as believers in this meeting this morning. We are to choose the way of God. We're to choose the service of God. We're to choose the labor of God beyond the labor of self and the ways of this evil and godly world. And can I say also that we are to choose the service of Christ with haste? We're not to delay. We're not to procrastinate. You remember what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 21 to his people? He says, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." The Bible says, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart." We are not to put off serving the Lord until some other time. It says, "Choose you this day." This very morning, we're to make that conscious choice and decision for God and the service of God. Can I say this, dear people, that if we delay in serving the Lord, we rob ourselves of the blessing of God. That's one of the effects. Another effect is we hinder God's plan and God's will for our lives. And most solemnly of all, we will be the means of hindering the gospel going forth to the unsaved. We will hinder the unsaved from hearing the gospel and the word of life. We say no to the service of God. Turn your Bible over to Romans chapter 10 and the verse number 14. And look at what Paul says there. How he emphasizes this fact of the need for God's people to serve the Lord,
and to spread the gospel.
Verse 14 of Romans chapter 10, he says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And then he goes on with these next questions and he says, and how shall they believe on him? That's how shall they believe in Christ the Savior? Notice it, of whom they have not heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? God's way, God's plan, and the salvation of sinners is taking up his people as instruments in his hand and sending them forth in their daily life and in the commission of the Church of Christ to spread the gospel at home and abroad. But the Word of God says to you and I this morning, how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? Dear people, the lesson there for us as God's people is this. If we hold back from serving the Lord, this is the bottom line. Others will not hear the glorious message that Jesus saves. Remember what Paul said to the church at Corinth? He says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Oh, our responsibility to serve the Lord. Christian, has God been dealing with your heart recently about a particular issue in the service of God? Maybe you've been holding back. Maybe you've been procrastinating. Listen to what God says to your heart on the issue this morning. He says, choose you this day whom you will serve. And I would counsel every Christian in the meeting this morning, when God burdens you to do something for God, whatever that is, do not hold back. Do it without delay. Do it with speed. Do it with haste. Because if you hold back, the devil will put every roadblock in your way to hinder you from going on with God and doing the service of God that God bids you and God has called you to do. The Bible says the king's business requireth haste. Notice something else here from Joshua chapter 24 this morning. Notice the example that Israel were to follow in their service for the Lord. For notice what Joshua goes on to say following this summons regarding himself at the end of verse 15. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now remember, the whole nation was gathered here before him. And there you see how Joshua makes a vow in the presence, yes, of God, and before the whole congregation of Israel, he makes a vow to serve the Lord. That vow was a public vow. That vow, we can say, was a courageous vow. It was a true vow. It was true to his life and his character. It was a personal vow. He says, as for me and my house, no matter what everyone else thinks, no matter what everyone else says or do, I'm going to go on with God. I'm going to serve the Lord in my day and generation. It was also a vow that exercised the service of God, not only in his personal life, but those under his authority in his family and in his household as well. He says, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. You know, this was the example that Israel were to follow in their service for the Lord as well at that time. And believer, can I say to you this morning, this is the example that you and I also are to follow in our service for God. In Exodus chapter 23 in the verse 2, Moses says something very interesting there to God's people. He says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. And really, the outcome of that verse, it means that as God's people, we are to stand against the current, the prevailing current, the prevailing spirit of this evil and ungodly world. And maybe some of you in the meeting this morning do a bit of fishing, and you know what happens in the springtime, the salmon, they swim up the river. They swim against the flow. They go against the current, so to speak. And that's how it is to be with us as God's people in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities where God has placed us and called us there by our words and by our deeds. We're to let others know that we belong to the Lord. Our lives are to be different from this evil, ungodly world and the spirit of the world that is abroad today. Others are to know that we belong to Christ. Turn with me your Bible over to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and the verse number 16. And notice there what Christ says to his people. He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Wherever we are in our daily place, Monday to Friday, 24/7, we're to let our light shine for God. Others are to know that we belong to the Lord. Whenever Paul was writing to the Christians in the church at Philippi, he says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." And that word conversation just doesn't mean words. It means the whole life, the whole manner, the whole attitude of the believer, of the Christian, is to be something that reflects the gospel before the ungodly world. Yes, we see the example here that Israel were to follow. Notice something else here from Joshua chapter 24. Notice the test of Israel's service for God. And you see that in verses 19 to 21 of the chapter. It says, "And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he have done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." And what did these words mean? They really meant this, that if Israel were to serve the Lord, there had to be a forsaking of sin. If they were to serve the Lord, there had to be a forsaking of sin. You see, God is holy. He's a jealous God, we're told there. And all sin grieves God. Therefore, his people must be holy. And the test here for Israel was that they would forsake their sin and cleave to the Lord. And that is what they did at that time by the grace of God. For look at what you read in verse 23 and verse 24 following on. Joshua says, "Now therefore put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." And the people said unto Joshua, "The Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey." And people, the lesson here for you and I is this, that if we are to serve the Lord aright, then our lives as God's people must be holy. Our lives as God's people must be pure. We must, as God's people, turn away from sin. The Bible speaks of God's people and speaks of the church of Christ. And it says, "Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord God of Israel." The Bible says, "Be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." Turn with me over, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and the verse number 19. Look at the counsel here of Paul to young Timothy regarding God's people and their service for God. Look at what he says in particular at the end of verse 19 of 2 Timothy chapter number 2. It says there, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his." He's speaking here of his own people. "And let every one that nameth the name of Christ," notice it, notice the call, the command, "depart from iniquity." There you see, in their service for God, God's people are to be a holy people. The Bible says, "Let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity." It was the old saintly Robert Murray McShane who said these words, that there is no argument like a holy life. And he was right. There's no argument that speaks volumes more for God than a holy life. Indeed, it was Robert Murray McShane who prayed daily in his own prayer times, "Lord, make me as holy as a man can be, this side of God's eternity." That was his continual prayer and burden. The hymn writer says, "We cannot be channels of blessing. If we consciously trifle with sin, we will barriers be and a hindrance to those we are trying to win." God's people are to be a holy people. And in our service for the Lord, there must be that desire to conform to God and his ways and the ways of holiness and the ways of God's word and God's truth. You know, people, there's a false gospel abroad today that says a man can profess to be a Christian, yet live as he pleases and do as he pleases. That's not what I read in my Bible about the gospel. The gospel of this Bible that we have in our hands this morning, it declares this. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The Lord said to Joseph regarding the coming of Christ, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Nowhere do you read in the Bible that God saves a people to continue on in sin and rebellion before God. It's not in the Bible. Dear people, repentance is to be an ongoing work in the life of every believer from the very day we are saved to the day we enter into glory. The Word of God says, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ, let him depart from iniquity. And this was the challenge here, the test of Israel's service. Would they be prepared to forsake their idolatry and the false ways of the heathen? Praise God, they made that choice. They turned their back upon it at that particular time. But notice one final thing here from Joshua 24. Notice the influence upon Joshua's service for the Lord. Go down to near the end of the chapter and to the verse number 31 of the chapter. Notice what it says. It says, and Israel served the Lord, notice it, all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders that overlived, or if you like, outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. And there you see very clearly that Israel here were influenced by Joshua's testimony to serve the Lord. These words are really a compliment to Joshua. You know, there are many other leaders in Israel to come following Joshua. And what were they to do? They were to lead the nation away from God and away from Israel. Away from the God of Israel. But that was not so with Joshua. The very name Joshua means Jehovah saves. And Joshua, he lived up to the meaning of that name until the very end of his earthly life. So the Lord called him home to glory. Look at verse 29 of the chapter. It says, and it came to pass after these things that Joshua, the son of Nun, and notice how God describes him, the servant of the Lord died, being 110 years old. He was a servant of the Lord to the very end. And people, that really was a testimony. What to? To the saving grace and the keeping power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his life. It was all a testimony to the grace of God in the life of this man, Joshua. And believer, the Bible says that none of us liveth unto himself. And whether we like it or not, all our lives are impacting others day by day. Well, let us ask ourselves the question this morning. What kind of an influence are we having in others, in our home, in our community, in our workplaces, wherever we are, day by day? Why are we living for God's honor and glory? Are we encouraging others to follow the Lord, to trust the Lord, to serve the Lord? Are we living a life that dishonors God, that discourages others from serving the Lord and going on with the Lord and their service for God? And praise God, believer, yes, your life and our life, yes, it can influence others for God and for good. Why do I say that? Because the Lord has not changed. He's still the same as he was in the day of Joshua. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today and forever. And dear believer, God is grace sufficient to help you day by day, whatever you face in life, to live for the glory of God. Turn in your Bible over to the New Testament. To 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and the verse number 8. Look at this tremendous promise. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound unto every good work. Christian, there's grace sufficient for you and I in this ungodly world, in times of trial, in times of difficulty, whatever the circumstance, or wherever the Lord calls us, or wherever the Lord places us in his will, to live for God's honor to live for God's glory. You think again of that great summons there of Joshua to Israel. Indeed, it's a summons to all our hearts today when he says, choose you this day whom ye will serve. My, our prayer is for each and every one in this congregation this morning, young and old alike, that we might respond, even like Joshua himself responded to that very summons at the end of verse 15. He says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Maybe you're in the meeting this morning and you're not saved. Friend, if you're to begin a life of serving God, you must begin with salvation. You must acknowledge your sin and your lost condition before God. You must believe in Christ and trust Him as your own and personal Savior. And then go forth day by day to confess Him before the world as your Savior and as your Lord. Praise God, the Lord says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're just going to close our meeting by singing together hymn number 548. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will serve the King? Who will be His helpers other lives to bring? Who will leave the world's side? Who will face the foe? Who is on the Lord's side? Who for Him?